Hi, this is Daniel Gar with the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Danny is a violin maker who lives alone in a remote farmhouse in a cornfield somewhere in Ohio. By chance, he hears a rising European virtuoso, Razvan Stoica, online and is so entranced by his violin playing that they become virtual friends. So when Razvan explains his interest in playing a legendary violin created by a Stradivarius contemporary, Guarneri, so Danny vows to make him one just like it and present it to him in person in time for an upcoming performance in Amsterdam. But has he bitten off more than he can chew? Or will he succeed through some combination of hard work, perseverance, and an ineffable something he calls Strad Style? Strad Style is a new feature-length documentary. It's a close-up and intimate look at a reclusive man dealing with personal problems even as he embarks on a grand venture. Strad Style premiered at Toronto's Hot Docs Documentary Film Festival, and it's directed by Stefan Avalos, an accomplished LA-based director. And I'm very pleased to have Stefan here on location at Hot Docs to tell us more about Strad Style. Hi, Stefan.
Hello, how are you?
Great, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So, you're in LA, and Danny is somewhere in the middle of a cornfield in Ohio. He's a violin maker. You were once a child prodigy or prodigy violin player. How did the two of you first meet?
Yeah, well, actually,
what brought you together?
I had been working on a documentary about violins and this sort of three-century obsession with this sort of what they call the secret of Stradivari, and actually how people have coveted these violins for three centuries, really. And it was really going to be a very broad movie, kind of about, you know, violinists and violin makers and scientists and thieves and counterfeiters and the whole works. And in the course of this, and I was shooting for about 2 years, actually, and I started in Paris. I was shooting all over the country, all over the world, really. And in the course of that, somebody, a friend of a friend in the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, told me about this guy that I just had to meet, this crazy guy out in the middle of nowhere, who was really obsessed with violins and violin making, and he had a tattoo of Yasha Heifetz on his arm, and you know, did candle magic in his garage. And I thought that might be a fun 5-minute sort of bit within this movie, you know, a little sort of comedic jump off from my kind of very proper movie about violins. And so I went out there and I met him and I shot, and I guess about after about half an hour, I mean, I was in stitches with the guy. I was laughing so hard with the way he told stories. Not laughing at him, but he's just a really fun storyteller, and his life has been crazy. And about half an hour in, I was really thinking, you know, I think I have a different movie here. I think this is going to go from sort of an informational sort of documentary to a sort of human interest story. And, you know, it took a little bit of doing in terms of, because I had shot for 2 years, you know, a lot of footage. But I decided to make that change, and it was really one of the best decisions I made, because I came out with a movie, I think, much more interesting than anything I could have thought of before.
So are you the one who told him about Stradivarius and Guarneri, or did he already know about them?
Oh, no. Danny is an encyclopedia of violin knowledge, and violinists, violin makers, the history of the violin. So we were sharing stories, anecdotal and sort of historical, and he was very well aware of all of this. So he knew all about that. And in fact, his whole Strad Style way of being and the jacket that is now becoming kind of famous and all that existed.
That wasn't after you talking to them.
No, that already existed.
Film was named after that.
Yes. The film was definitely named after something that he had already coined.
Oh, okay.
Strad Style, yeah.
For listeners who've never heard of them or don't know much about it, could you briefly talk about, is it Cremona?
Yeah.
And the violins that came out of there.
Yeah. The movie, I didn't want it to become too much of a sort of history lesson, you know, so I sort of give people the cliff notes. What do they need to know for us to move on with our story? And yeah, what the sort of the again the cliff notes are that Cremona, it's a small town in Italy, and it is ground zero. It is the mecca of violin makers, and a remarkable town that through this is really the town where the violin, as we know it today, was invented. Before that, it was kind of more of a lute-like, you know, instrument, a mandolinish type of instrument. And the modern violin, as we know it, was basically invented in Cremona in the 1600s by a fellow named Amati. And he was the guy who trained Stradivari, who we've all heard of. Everybody who
That's right.
has heard of Stradivari. And Stradivari kind of really finessed and perfected what we think of as the modern violin. And his violins are indeed among the best in the world to this day, even though they're now over 300 years old. Guarneri, who's a guy that a lot of people, unless you're in the violin world, you may not have heard of this guy. Guarneri is a few years after Stradivari. There is some overlap, but Guarneri is a successor. And he also made fantastic violins. However, they're very different from the Stradivari's.
Mm-hmm.
Stradivari made perfect violins as we think of them. They are the workmanship, the craftsmanship is just absolutely perfect. And they have what a lot of violinists think of as their own specific tone. Guarneri's are a rougher violin. This guy was really just, you know, kind of, he it was almost as if he couldn't sort of spend the time to get it perfect. He was too busy trying to do something with the tone. So they're a bit rougher, they're a bit bulkier, bigger, they have a slightly different tone. But in terms of all the hundreds and hundreds of makers that have existed throughout time, these two guys are really the pinnacle of violin making in terms of what the violinist seeks. And when you hear the stories of a violin going for many millions of dollars, a lot of the time, most of the time, it's either a Stradivari or it's a Guarneri. So they kind of, it's kind of like a horse race where one will get an auction price world record and then the other one will beat it. And I think right now a Guarneri holds the highest
really?
Price record.
Because of course, everyone knows about Stradivarius, but that's a Stradivarius. But I've never heard the word until this film.
Yeah.
Guarneri, but I guess within that circle,
yeah.
It's extremely coveted and well known.
Exactly, yeah. And I think right now, I could, you know, the highest paid price for one is around $18 million. So that gives you an idea of the value of these.
$18 million.
$18 million, yeah. Okay. A lot of money.
Okay, so changing the subject, I looked on your IMDb, and you've worked on a lot of supernatural horror,
yeah.
things like that. And now in this movie, Danny, who's a very interesting character, is seen doing candle magic, incense magic, tarot. Did he do that? Does he do that to have some sort of effect on the violins he's making?
Yeah, he does that. His idea with all of this is that he is sort of trying to get, he calls it guidance. He doesn't say like, oh, he's raising anybody from the, you know, it's sort of a guidance from the masters, as he says. And so he has rituals that he performs that he has sort of developed on his own and with candle magic and various forms of things, and he'll go out with the wood into the field at a certain time of, you know, the year or the month, you know, and do things out there that he feels affects his work in a positive way, and certainly the violins are pretty good, so I don't think, you know, don't mess with it if it's working. So it's very cool.
One thing I found interesting, and as the filmmaker, you portrayed it in a certain way, and there's a lot of footage given to him worrying about the nicks and the dye and the scratch and the stain to perfectly duplicate the violin he's making, but you never hear him test for the sound.
Right.
So, in my mind, the most important thing about a violin is its sound, not the way it looks. So can you explain why he's so obsessed with the looks and seemingly not with the music?
Yeah, well, that's definitely cinematic license being taken.
Okay.
Now, in terms of the violin, I mean, he did spend a lot of time crafting the shape. Of course, the shape of the violin is based on a mold, so it's exactly the same shape, size, you know, structure as the actual Il Canone, which is the violin that he was copying, and he wanted it to look right. Now, for the movie, because, of course, obviously, the most important thing of a violin is the sound. And so to really kind of maximize that dramatic tension.
Oh, okay. So I this really, suspense. So yeah, because I was thinking, oh my God, what is going to say?
I leave that to really the last possible second that
so people can the suspense to see how it comes out.
Yeah, and I of course play with the audience there a couple of times where, you know, I was like, okay, now you're here. Nope, not yet.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I take great joy in hearing the audience reaction when that is pulled out, that carpet's pulled out from under them.
Certainly.
Yeah.
No, I don't. And I don't want to give any spoilers for people who haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, but definitely, leaving how it would sound to the last possible moment, because that is critical, you know, and that's what it all depends on, if he's going to succeed or fail. I wanted to leave that to the end.
But he does do things like check the sound and... Does Danny play the violin?
Danny plays the violin. He's an amateur player, so he plays the violin. Actually, in the course of making the movie, the guy who got to play the violin the most and check it out and test it out beforehand was myself. It was me, because of the people in that, you know, working on this project. I certainly, because I was a professional violinist,
right?
You know, I could put a violin through its paces and give him ideas on what he thought. Oh, what I thought, you know, needed to be done in order to make it, you know, potentially work.
So Danny lives, at least when the film was shot, he lives in this remote house in the middle of a cornfield. Why is he living all by himself? And what was it like spending time with him in this isolated, reclusive place?
Yeah, he lives, he doesn't live there anymore, actually, but he lived, and he lived there for 13 years. Yeah, it's an enormous farmhouse, about 4,300 square feet, built in 1853, and it's a family house. But really, he's living at the poverty line, and it's falling apart, you know. And in the winter, there was no heat, and there has evidently not been heat for many years. And the septic was iffy, and you know, there were a lot of problems. And there was a staircase that, you know, was in danger of collapse, and I was walking up and down that staircase, so I could have collapsed and fallen not just to the first floor, but right through down to the basement. So that was actually something where I actually stopped shooting for a day and rented a hammer drill and bought wood, and I actually shored up that staircase just so I wouldn't die. He lived out there, very very remote. By himself, and made his violins.
Did he want to be all alone?
No. Well, he says one thing. I mean, you know, he's out there by himself, but he's lonely. And I think that now that he's had a chance to sort of experience the world a bit more, he's making some changes. But yeah, shooting there was very interesting. It was a very intimate experience. Obviously, it was, you know, the two of us.
Yeah.
With a camera, and I had a camera in his face basically the whole time for about 8 months straight.
Was it just you, or did you have a boom operator as well?
It was a one-man.
You
crew.
Alone? Oh,
yeah,
wow!
It was a crew of one.
Because it is a very up close intimate film.
Yeah, it really is, and I would spend weeks on end at the farmhouse, and it was not necessarily the easiest living, and thankfully modern equipment has allowed that to become easier than if I'd been shooting on film. And the lights are, you know, LED panels, which can run on batteries versus, you know, burning the house down, which I would have certainly done if I had been, you know, trying to plug in a tungsten light. And so, it was a really interesting, and it worked out very well that it was just a crew of one, because it really allowed Danny to just be Danny.
Be himself, express himself.
Yeah. And it just allowed us to spend, you know, any amount of time per day. You know, we'd be up at 3 a.m. working on the movie, and, you know, so that was a really fun bit. It was not the easiest thing in the world because of the conditions, you know, the extreme cold. At one point, it's 38 degrees in the house.
Wow.
In the winter, yeah. It was 38 degrees. And then in the summer, it got very hot and humid. It was the opposite.
So, how long did the filming take?
We shot for 8 months.
8 months?
Yeah. I started in like November, early November of 2015. And then
constantly or in intervals?
It was on and off. You know, it would be a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks at a time. I think the longest stint was 5 weeks. At the end, where, you know, everything's coming together.
Finally, as a former professional violinist, have you ever held in your hand an actual Stradivarius or Guarneri?
Yes, I have. I've had a chance to play quite a few of them, actually, which is one of the real great bonuses of having made this movie, and actually the original movie that I was working on. And in fact, I had been in Paris at one point for a shoot, And there was a table right in front of me with about $53 million worth of violins, and I got a chance to fiddle around on a few of those, which is
and
great.
Are they really different?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that is...
In your judgment.
That's a multi-million dollar question. I mean, they certainly are fantastic instruments, and there's very few instruments in the world that compare to these great instruments. That said, there are some modern makers that are making violins that I think in many ways are every bit as good as these old masters.
Stefan Avalos, the director of Strad Style, a feature documentary that had its international premiere at Hot Docs Documentary Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.